Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
I want to tell you that we have the baptism on July 30th, and Landon's coming to town to get baptized all the way from Atlanta, Georgia. I get the Nashville people and the Atlanta people mixed up. From Atlanta, Georgia, he's coming home to get baptized. And we have two more, Tony Jr.'s little twins. They're going to get baptized also. And we're opening it up to anyone who wants to follow Christ in baptism. Yesterday, we had a wonderful service. Many people attended. And we had something kind of unprecedented happen that someone pointed out to me after the fact. We gave an altar call yesterday for salvation to make sure that we were all certain of our destination, and we had 100% of people came to the altar. Not one person stayed behind. So we are all going to heaven, all of us. Thank you, Jesus. But we're on our sixth week of the study that I've titled Holy Moses, and we're talking about the plagues, and so a little bit of review, but I'm going to get into some kind of interesting stuff, maybe some cool stuff. So far, God has sent 9 plagues exactly upon Pharaoh and Egypt. They deserved every one of them. I want to point out, as I have before, that not one of these plagues affected God's people, Israel. And I want to also tell you there are theologians that may tell you that the first two may have affected the people, but that is not true because God specifically said he wanted to make a distinction. Had he done that, punished God's people, he would have been unjust, and God is not just. He's a God of justice and righteousness. So these plagues, not one of them did. And by the way, that would have even defeated the point of sending plagues to Pharaoh and Egypt. What would the point be? Well, thanks, God, you're sending me plagues too. What have I done? And so there would have been no distinction. And that means there would have been no distinction for us. We could be subject to a plague too. But God, one of the things that always stuck with me was during COVID, and I think I've shared this with you before, by all the information that we received from the aldermen and other churches, I talked to pastors in other churches that had lost multiple people. I mean, lots of people, different people, and all of the churches surrounding us within about a 15, 20-mile radius had lost someone or a couple. We did not lose one person, and I humbly say that, not boastfully at all, but humbly that God protected us. And one of the things we did was receive communion. You apply the blood, and that comes from the protection. You honor the cross, you honor the blood, and you honor the Holy Spirit. And I truly believe that. And did some of us get COVID? I myself got COVID. But I want to tell you something. It was short-lived, and God brings us through it. And so, you know, we're not so prideful that we say that nothing could ever happen to us, because that's just not true. But there were 9 plagues, and I want to tell you that every one of them, except for the last two, God had Moses go and warn Pharaoh. And I'm going to explain why Moses did not warn Pharaoh of even the last two. I'm going to explain to you why. The Bible says that, first of all, while we were yet in sin, Christ died for us. And so God is so merciful. But Pharaoh continued to harden his heart. And I kept asking myself, God, why did you give him so many chances? Why did you show him so much mercy that for 9 times, really? I would have said, 3 strikes, buddy, and you're out. I've sent you 3 plagues. You're not going to obey me. I'm going to start wiping you people out. But God is so merciful. And all I had to do was sit for a second and ask myself, have I ever committed the same sin over and over 9 times? How about 90 for some of us? You know, we tend to look at Pharaoh and say, wow, why did he keep on sinning? because some of us kept on sinning too. And so I want to talk for a minute about the last two plagues in particular as we continue tonight. The ninth plague was the 3 days of darkness, pitch black darkness. Now, I want you to remember that each of these plagues that God sent addressed one of the gods of Egypt. And the god, and in this particular plague, I want to tell you that the Egyptians in particular worshiped the sun god. That was one of their favorite gods to worship, the sun god, which brings the light. So God's like, how about a little bit of darkness here? If you're going to worship the god, you think that you're going to worship a sun god. Let me show you who makes the sun and who can take away the sun too. And so this was against the god of Ra. It's R-A, pronounced Ra. And so sent him the plagues of darkness. So for 3 days and three nights. While we're talking about the sun god, I was telling Dan the other day an interesting fact. How many of you know why we call a sunflower? Debbie? Okay, Debbie's got it. The sunflower, the large and showy flowering heads of the sunflower, they follow the sun. In the morning, the sun is in the east, they're on the east, and they gradually throughout the day, they change and follow the sun, the sunflower, till it sets in the west. In science, researchers will say that the young plant's sun tracking system is called heliotropism, if you want the scientific name for this, and it can be explained by a simple statement, and most of you know what circadian rhythm is, and this is the behavior changes are tied to an internal clock that is inside the sunflower. It has an internal clock that operates on a 24-hour cycle, and that circadian rhythm is exactly what we have in our bodies. How many of us should face the sun? And I mean the Son of God, that where we turn to God, we should fix our eyes on him. But I thought that was so cool about how the sunflower faces the east, and gradually it goes where the sun goes. Thank you, Lord, that we can go. And you know what I think about that is that God does not confirm science, but science confirms God. Science confirms who God is, that he is who he says he is. And my desire is always to follow the sun in the morning when I rise, in the evening, keep my eyes on Jesus. So we continue with the 10th plague. And now, remember I said that each of these plagues was against of God that they worshiped in Egypt? Well, we talked about all the different gods, but here's the 10th plague. What god is that against? The number one god, idol, that they worshiped was Pharaoh himself. The number one was Pharaoh. This plague, the killing of the firstborn, is going to address you, Mr. Pharaoh. It's going to affect you, that you demand worship, that you think you're God yourself and your people worship you, and you are not. And you are going to be affected because judgment is now going to come to your house. You didn't listen to me. You did not obey me. So judgment's going to come to your house. So in chapter 11, this is the final plague that God brings upon Egypt before the Exodus, which means the going away, the going out. It's the plague of the firstborn where God is going to allow the destroyer to come throughout Egypt. Allow the destroyer and destroy the firstborn, take away the life of the firstborn son of Egypt. The reality is the enemy would like to destroy everyone, but God has made a way for his people to be protected. Even he is called the destroyer. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's who he is. So it's no surprise that the enemy would go and do that. So we are protected, but we are protected one way, and this is something we never need to forget. We are only protected by the blood. It wasn't really Moses that got him out of Egypt. It was Moses who was put in a leadership position. It was the blood of the Lamb that got him out of Egypt. It was God himself, Yahweh, Jehovah, Jesus, who got him out. So chapter 11, verse 1 says, "And the Lord said to Moses, I'm going to bring yet one more plague upon Pharaoh and Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go. When he shall let you go," not if he will let you go, when he will let you go, "he will force you out altogether." Pharaoh is going to be so ready to get rid of them this time because he had lied so many times before. And this time God did not send Moses to Pharaoh to warn him of this plague. So you might be asking why God always warned Pharaoh of the plague. Why did he not do that? It's because the last time that Moses was in front of Pharaoh, Pharaoh said, I want you to get out of here. I don't want to even see your face in this room anymore. So guess what? You don't have to tell me twice to get out of your house. You don't want to see me anymore. And so Moses was willing to respect that decision. Pharaoh doesn't want to hear from me. But what a dangerous position Pharaoh now puts himself in, because if any of the plagues you wanted to be warned about, it wouldn't have been the lice or the flies, would it? It wouldn't have been the water. It would not. You know what it would have been? Did you say God's going to kill my firstborn? You missed it, Pharaoh, because you told Moses to get out of your sight and don't come back and warn me anymore. Don't talk to me anymore. Just get out of here. So he didn't get a warning. And the only person he can blame is himself, that he didn't get that warning. And so he's going to let them go. He's going to force them out, in fact, which I love that. Something you said you're not going to do. I'm not going to let you go, and I'm not going to do this. Well, yeah, you are. You actually are going to let us go. And, you know, that's something that, by the way, we can tell the devil. You can try to stop us. You can do a lot of things that you think might incline us to not go, but we are going to go. And Moses is going to tell Israel what God is going to do. He's not going to tell Pharaoh, but he is going to tell God's people what the plan is. I like to know what the plan is, don't you? What's the plan here? We're going to be leaving. What's the plan? And he first told them something interesting that we have addressed. I want to talk again about it. He told them to borrow, which I'm going to address that one word in a minute. He told them to borrow silver, gold, and jewelry from their neighbors. And interestingly, this was interesting to me, by the way, when I used to read it years ago before I studied it. The neighbors of the Israelites, the Egyptian women, very willingly gave these things to them. You know why? Number one, they had favor with them. And this is a part that we skip over and forget. They had favor with them. Wait a minute. They had favor with them? I thought they were supposed to be enemies. That was not true. The people were not the problem. It was Pharaoh and the leadership was the problem. And so we forget the part that they favored them. But because here's why. Pharaoh was not just mean to God's people. Pharaoh was mean, period. He was a tyrannical leader. All of history tells us that he and the one following him was a tyrant. Both of them were tyrants, not just to God's people, to their own people. And the people knew it. And others know. Others know who you are. But I asked myself the question, and by the way, the word borrow is mistranslated. We read it, and we read many translations say that borrow, but it means to lend, to give to the Lord, to give to God. And did the Egyptians expect to get these things back? If you want to say it's borrow, do you think they expected to get them back? Knowing that the Egyptians are fixing to leave, no, they did not expect to get their jewelry or their gold or their silver back. So there was no borrowing. They were not going to get it back. It was more like going away gifts. You want this? You might need this. We like you guys. Here's the gifts. And we're going to see in a minute, actually, that some of these very same people, Egyptians and people of other races, are going to go with them, the mixed multitude. And was it wrong for them to ask, even go to their neighbors and ask, can I have your silver? Knock, knock, knock. Hello, Frida. I'm going on a trip, and I'm not coming back. And Frida, can I have your, I would like all you, get your gold jewelry necklaces together, the silver, keep the fake stuff, the silver, the gold, and can I have your stuff? And Frida goes, sure. Well, I'm not coming back. Well, you can still have it. You know, that's called favor. But was it wrong for them to ask those things? No, it wasn't wrong because God told them to ask those things. Was it wrong for God to tell them to ask those things? No. Why? Because all of those things belong to God. The Bible clearly says the silver and the gold are whose? Mine, says the Lord. They are mine. Do you know that every single thing in this earth, everything in my house, every chair here, everything belongs to God and not to me? Do you know that your children belong to God, that they are on loan. They are his children before they are yours. You are only, you talk about loan. Anything God's given us, he has loaned us. We are not loaning. He's loaned to us. And so, and here's the secondary reason which I thought about. Pharaoh and Egypt had enslaved these people and made them work without wages, without any kind of compensation. They were slave labor. They were compensated nothing. And this was a way for God to make sure that they were paid rightfully, righteously for what they had done for Egypt. They built cities, they built walls, they built things, and plenty of it. And so I'm going to tell you, give you the verse, the supporting verse, that the people had favor. And the Lord gave the people favor in sight of the Egyptians in 11:3. Moreover, the man Moses was also very great, which means esteemed and honored. He was esteemed and honored in the land of Egypt, not with Pharaoh, but it does continue to say, and in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and the sight of the people. So everyone knew what was going on. They knew that Moses was a great man, a man of honor, a man to be respected and esteemed. Even Pharaoh's servants knew it. And one way that I can prove that is several occasions, two occasions, his servants actually told Pharaoh, you don't need to be doing this. This is not right. Look at the, so in the sight of the people. So it, the people were not the problem in this case. And most commentators say this, and I agree with this, that Pharaoh was crazy. He had a mental problem, if you will. He had a mental problem. Yes, when you don't listen to God for 9 times and you continue to rebel against God, you do have a hard heart and pride, but you also have a mental problem, because if you know after that third or fourth plague, you know that the next time Moses comes and says, you better let the people go, that you're going to get another plague, and still you don't do what God tells you to do, you have a mental problem, Pharaoh. I'm sorry, I've just diagnosed you as very schizophrenic. So Moses tells the people, not Pharaoh, he said, about midnight, God's going to allow the destroyer, we know who that is, to go through the middle of Egypt, and all, now this word all is real encapsulating, all firstborn sons, thank God it wasn't women, of Egypt will die. From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sits upon his throne, even to the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of the beast. I'm telling you, if you were in prison and had a son, that son was going to die. There was no escape from this, because once God has pronounced judgment, it will come to pass. The only way that judgment would not happen to you or I or the Egyptians or Pharaoh, one way is to bow your knee before God and to repent of sin and let the blood cover it. And so this is what he tells the people is going to happen. Now, there's an interesting thing. It says, even the firstborn of the beast, because they refused to give God honor that was due him by sacrificing, because this is the way they worship God, to sacrifice the beast, the lamb, the goat, the ram, things like that. God's going to kill one of their beasts, too. You won't sacrifice to me. You won't give me the first, because that's what you were supposed to sacrifice. You were supposed to take the best and the first and give it to God. And because they would not take the best and the first, the Egyptians, God's going to take even their beast that they should have given and kill their beast. So God does things for a reason and for a purpose. That's not just like, well, I think I'll just kill their animal, too. No, he's going to kill the firstborn of the animal too, for a reason, because they would not give it to God and they would not honor God. So it's very interesting why God does all of this. 11:7 says this, but against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, which means a dog will not even bark or bite, against man or beast, that you will know that how the Lord does put a difference between the Egyptians. And let me tell you something. This is very, very powerful. With God, you are protected fully and completely from any plague, from any danger. Without God, you are completely unprotected. You are out of the umbrella of protection. And with God, you are protected. But Moses tells the people that every man is to take a lamb according to his household that's sufficient for his household to eat, a lamb for a house, one lamb for a house. And this is also interesting. No household was to take two lambs or three lambs. Why? There's only one lamb. There's only one lamb for every house. There's not going to be two gods in my house. There's not going to be two lambs, two different gods, two Jesus, two idols. No, one lamb for every house. And this lamb should be without spot or blemish. Our lamb was without spot or blemish that we receive into our house. A male of the first year. This is God's first and only begotten son. You shall take it out from the sheep or the goats and keep it to the 14th day of the month and kill it in the evening. When you kill it, you shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat. This is symbolic of Christ as the head, the crown, the head, the arm stretched out. But you never put the blood on the threshold because you never trampled the blood of the lamb. So it was not ever put on the threshold, just on the sides and on the head is how the blood flowed down from Christ. And yes, it did flow down. And you notice the word strike, and that's there purposefully because Christ, our Savior, was stricken. He was punished. He was struck on our behalf, and the blood flowed forth down. He was unrecognizable. And they were to eat the flesh in the night, roasted by fire. Christ went through the fire for us. And that is purposefully too, so because he conquered death, hell, and the grave. And he went through the fire that we would not have to. What is the ultimate punishment of sin? It is by fire. And it says, eat it with bitter herbs and not raw. And we do not eat part of it, but all of it. And here's the part I love. Verse 11 says, and this shall you eat. This is how you eat it. It's not just eat it. There's a specific way to eat it. It says you eat it with your loins girded, being ready, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you eat it quickly. It is the Lord's Passover. What does all of that mean? When you receive it, when you receive the Lord's Supper, you're ready to go out of bondage immediately. Be ready to leave the past behind. Be ready when you come up here and receive the meal that heals, that represents the Passover lamb slain for us. Be ready to walk out of the bondage, whatever you're in, whether it's addiction, relationship, be ready to go, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And if you're not ready, you might not go. You might still linger. When you honor the cross and the blood of Christ, you're free. I believe this is the meal that heals. This is when I was very, very ill. I remember going to the hospital many different times. I heard Perry Stone teaching on the meal that heals. It was a very in-depth teaching at the time, and I took notes, and I sat through that, and I was very, very ill at the time. I'd just come from the hospital for about the fourth or fifth time, and I was at the kitchen table downstairs, and I just went and got juice that I had and crackers, and I threw away my medicine, which I do not recommend at all, other than the fact that my medication just simply was not working. And so I found better medication. And so I began to receive Holy Communion, and immediately there was a turnaround. And after that, I never had to go again. And to this day, I've never went for that same issue. So when you honor the blood and the cross, you receive healing. I believe that through the blood of the Lamb. And Moses tells them, when they apply the blood as God commands, that Egypt will be judged, but they will be safe. And this is the only way to be safe from the enemy. And Moses told them something further. He said, you are going to celebrate this Passover meal. It's going to be celebrated forever, all of us. It's why we celebrate today, this when we receive communion. I love this, and I love communion when, you know, so many people say, we're going to take communion, and I never like to say that because we don't take anything from God. I say it's time to receive communion because he gave. When someone gives you something, you receive it. When someone gives me something, I don't just take it. I receive it from him. And so when we celebrate this, we're supposed to celebrate the rest of our lives. And I was reading this the other day, and I was just weeping. It says, and And the time, when time comes to pass and your children come to you and say to you, what do you mean by this service? Mom, Dad, why are we receiving communion today? Why are we drinking the grape juice? Why are we having the bread today? And you shall say, this is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed their head in worship, and the people followed these instructions. When I read that, I could literally in my spirit, I could picture myself in my house. And we all know the destroyer wants to destroy us and would do damage if he could. And I could just picture, even he's the God of the air, I can just picture him passing over my house because I'm protected. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. There's a song about that. And then at midnight, every firstborn son of, and again, he was not warned because, and it was his fault. What a lesson to us. If we need to be warned, if someone needs to warn you about something spiritually, you don't need to turn away and go, I don't want to hear that. How he missed it on this. So at midnight, every firstborn of Pharaoh and Egypt died, even the firstborn of the prisoners and the animals. This is what the word of God says. So Pharaoh, who never wanted to see Moses ever again in his court, now he calls for him. Now he calls for him. If I was Moses, well, let's just say I might have been unavailable. But Moses is a better man. And so he calls for Moses, and he is ready to let them go. He's ready to force them out. And he really means it this time. In fact, he demands that they go. He calls them, in fact, in the middle of the night. After this has taken place, because the Bible tells us there is weeping like you never heard before and you will never hear again. Take your flocks, take your herds, get out, get out, get out. And in verse 32, it says something so interesting that I never caught this before, but I found it quite amusing. He said, this is Pharaoh speaking, and take your flocks and your herds like you have requested, and be gone. And then he says, and bless me also. He wants a blessing. Are you kidding me? If I do this, I'm going to let you go, but I want you to bless me. What part of plague don't you understand, Pharaoh? And Pharaoh continued, go in haste. And here's what he said, or we're all going to be dead men. You get out of here because I can see it now. For some reason, his eyes are wide open now. But what did it take? And that's something that I've told people before too. What is it going to take for you to serve the Lord? How many people in your life have to die? How many have to go down the wrong path? How hard does it have to get for you before you say, I'm going to do exactly what God has told me to do, because I too have experienced quite a few different plagues that were my own fault, that were my own undoing. And so Pharaoh said, get out or we're going to all be dead men. And he was more than likely correct. And verse 38 said, and a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds and even very much cattle. And I love this because here's the thing. Remember, they had favor with the Egyptians and the people, some of the different races in Egypt. And there were people who decided, you know what? This is not a good place where we're at. We don't have a good leader. We don't have... Everything is falling apart around here. And you know what? These people are blessed over here. These people, they didn't get touched by the flies and the gnats and the plagues. And so you know what? Wherever they go, I would like to go too. I'm just going to follow right behind them because I'm not staying here. What a great decision. And here's the word that caught me and that I looked it up was multitude. That's over 3,000, a multitude. Didn't even know what a multitude was. went with them over, and who knows how many there really were. That's just the definition. Went up also with them, and flocks and herds and very much cattle. You know what? I think that's a great thing when people see that you're serving God and you're getting out of bondage. I'm walking out of my bondage. My God is able. He's bringing me out. I'm getting set free. I think it's awesome when other people say, I want to be set free too. I want to go too. I want to go with you. I'm going to serve your God. Just like Naomi said, I'll serve your God. Well, I don't have no husband for you. And there's nothing I can do for you, Ruth. And she's like, I'll go anyway. I'm going for God. I ain't going for a husband. I ain't going for any. God gives me something, that's great. But that's not the reason I'm going. I'm going. Your people will be my people. I need to visit with some church people now. Some good friends in my life. Not those friends at the bar anymore. And so I'm going with you, Naomi, and I'm going to meet those people, and I'm going to meet your God, and I'm going to serve your God. And so this thing is happening right here with the mixed multitude, and I love that everybody gets a choice. You don't have to stay where you're at. You don't have to stay in bondage as our musicians come, our worship leaders come. But so many people, and I want to tell you probably another reason that you probably never have thought of this. In this story, let me tell you something. I believe there's another reason that some of the mixed multitude went. Do anybody guess what it is? A lot of them, sadly, remember God told Israel, he said, you must apply the blood. You have to apply the blood in order for your firstborn son not to die. I know why some of them left. They had lost their firstborn son. They were living in a house where the blood wasn't applied. And if that won't tell you, I gotta go, nothing else will. I don't know why, but as I was sitting in my office this morning, that's the thought. That's the revelation that I got. Not just that they seen a better life, they had had enough. When that firstborn son died, they decided, I'm not staying here anymore. I'm going to. They had probably suffered a great, great loss because there's no record of the Egyptians applying the blood. And I think it's such a blessing, but I don't want to wait till that time to serve God until I've suffered loss. And I see a lot of people that wait. They wait until they almost are on the bottom, till they're almost homeless, till they're almost, they have nothing but God. You know, the time that you choose God is because of his goodness. The Bible says the goodness of the Lord leads men to repentance. They see the goodness in God. And if we could only have our eyes opened and not be at bitter like Pharaoh. And something I like that I'm going to close out with in this lesson, I know this one was a little bit longer tonight, I apologize. I really love 13:8 that says, and you shall show your son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. And you may be sitting here and you may be saying, well, I never came out of Egypt. Yes, you did, because Egypt represents sin. It represents bondage. You came out of something. You did not come to Christ without coming out of something. And it says this, it says, tell your children your testimony. Something that I have been telling people in counseling lately quite a bit, and I talk to lots of people pretty much daily, when you talk to your children and when you talk to other people, the Bible says we overcome by two ways, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. It takes the blood, but what keeps us is our testimony, remembering where we came from. We can't afford to forget that we came from Egypt. Otherwise, we won't have compassion for the people that are still in Egypt. We can't forget that. But I've been telling people this. When you tell your testimony, don't clean it up. I don't want you to clean that up. And something I always say is, anytime blood is spilled, if someone was to bleed on the floor, we would want to clean that blood up. But in the case of us, we don't clean up the blood. The blood cleaned us up. And so when you give your testimony, We tend to leave the ugly part out. Now, I'm not saying you get graphic, but I'm saying don't leave the ugly part out, or they'll never know what really God did in your life, how great it was that you got out of that mess if you clean up your testimony. You don't do that. And here's the reason why. Because they may be in Egypt right now. They may be in bondage right now, and they're not saying it. But when they hear your testimony, how bad it was for you and how God still got you out of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb, and that you celebrate communion up here, then they'll get out too. That'll be part of it. So thank you for attending in.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.